Well, we're going to continue in our series on the church this morning and look at some of the distinctives about who we are as the body of Christ here at CPC. And you may have guessed, my assignment is to talk this morning about worship, about this fundamental and critical thing that we do as we gather together as the body of Christ. I'm not much of an internet guy, but I actually figured out how to get on the web and go to CPC's website this week, so I'm pretty proud of myself about that. And if you were to go there, you'd look at this section of what is called our core values. And under worship, you would find this paragraph. Worship should be focused on heartfelt response to the unchanging God while remaining sensitive to our contemporary culture. Worship and enjoying God is perhaps the greatest of all callings for the church. Proper worship engages both our mind and our heart, and it cultivates a balanced sense of awe and intimacy in our approach to God. To effectively draw us into the presence of God, our worship style should be culturally relevant while remaining theologically pure. Isn't that a great statement? It says so much about who we are here at CPC and about the ministry of worship. And we're going to refer back to this a couple of times in our morning. But as we begin, I actually want to take exception to one significant word. And I haven't talked to the elders a lot about this, so I could be getting myself into trouble. But I want to look at the word in the second sentence where it says, worshiping and enjoying God is perhaps the greatest of all callings for the church. Now, I really think, as we begin, folks, we need to delete the word perhaps. There it goes. Thanks, Bill. So worshiping and enjoying God is the greatest of all callings for the church. There's really no question about it, folks. Worship is the most fundamental and critical thing that we do as we gather together as the body of Christ. All other aspects of the Christian life, our praying, our reading the scriptures, our witnessing, any element of life that you can think of, and all of the ministries of the church that we enjoy, that we participate in, preaching, and the ministry of communion up here on Sunday morning, and all the things that we've been blessed with as a body, higher power ministries and community groups, all those things are actually useless, and the scriptures tell us are offensive to God unless they are byproducts of authentic spiritual worship. Ray Stedman, I love the way he says this, put it this way, since the first century, the churches of the world have recognized the threefold mission, worship, evangelism, and edification, or the building up of the body. But of these three, the greatest is surely worship, because true worship is the source of the other two. The proclamation of the good news to the lost and the building up of the church by the maturing of each believer flows from hearts that are made warm and vital by the worship of the living God. So I'll say it again this morning as we begin. Worship is the greatest of all callings upon the church, and it's the most significant thing that you and I can do as we gather together in the body. But showing up to a worship service, coming here on Sunday morning, doesn't make us worshipers. Singing songs and praying, listening to the scriptures are activities of worship, but just because we participate in them doesn't mean we're automatically worshiping. My wife and I, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated our 27th wedding anniversary, which just blows me away. But yeah, it's great. 27 years. Nancy and I say that it's 22 of the best years of our life. There's 5 years in there we have some debate about. But we did this year what we often do. We went down, spent the day in Las Gatas, just kind of bumming around, going into some of the antique shops. And as usual, we found ourselves at the end of that time over at the Las Gatas Coffee Roasting Company. And then we went over the hill to Santa Cruz and just enjoyed a great afternoon together. You know, I got to tell you, it was one of the greatest times just being in one another's presence. What we do is what we so often do on occasions like this. We spend a lot of time reminiscing. We spent a lot of time remembering together through shared stories and just little memories and tidbits of things that have become kind of woven into the fabric of our relationship. You know, we tell all the goofy stories. We talk about the night before our wedding when we had this big blowout argument. We talk about our first apartment. We talk about our kids and various things that we discovered together as a family as they were growing up. We talk about this crazy trip that we took when we were first married across country in a pickup truck in about 110 degree heat. You know, all of those pieces of our story and our life together that have become part of the fabric of our relationship. And as we talk about those things, a wonderful thing happens. Intimacy between us grows. Our relationship is deepened. There's kind of a vibrancy that happens as we remember together. And folks, that's really what we do when we come to worship. We remember together. We reminisce over the things of God. We participate in singing and the listening to Scripture and communion and prayer to remember together the critical elements of our story in relationship with God. As we do that, as we enter into this dialogue, remembering and singing and expressing our love to God, this wonderful thing happens. We're deepened in our intimacy with Him. There's a natural flow that happens in our relationship. J.I. Packer says this about worship. He says, by expressing love, worship renews love. The renewing of love with our Lord is the greatest joy any Christian knows. So this morning we want to look at the elements of authentic worship. We're going to explore together what it means to be genuine worshipers of God. And we're going to turn first to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If you have a Bible, we'll turn there. Let me read that for us. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I think it's clear as we begin looking at this text that Paul is really commending this to what we might call a lifestyle of worship, where every aspect of life, everything that we do, everything we participate in, is really a service or an offering of worship to God. That's why he says we're to bring our bodies, representing all that we are, as a living, holy, and acceptable sacrifice. So our speaking, our working, every aspect of our relationships, our driving back and forth, our doing the dishes, anything you could think of can be an offering of service, of a sacrifice of worship to our God. And everything that we do as a church can be an expression of that worship as well. And this morning, we're going to pay particular attention to these elements of worship that are to shape and inform how we worship together, corporately, as the body of Christ. And the first element that we see in this text, we also see in the first sentence of our core value statement, where we read, worship should be focused on heartfelt response to the unchanging God. Worship fundamentally is a response to who God is and to what He's done. In worship, we are first and foremost coming into the presence of God, responding to the wonder of His character and the amazement of His work in our lives. And that's really the burden of the Apostle Paul in this juncture of the book of Romans. It's really the central division of the book. And Paul up to this time has elaborately laid out the mysteries of the grace of God in Christ Jesus to save sinners. He has been painstakingly careful as he's constructed this argument and approached it from various angles to persuade us that God, in His mercies, has sent His Son to save sinful humanity. And when he gets to chapter 12, Paul is now moving from theology proper to talk about how we are to live that out. What is our response to be in light of the greatness and the wonder of God's grace? How are we to respond? Well, Paul says, I urge you, brethren, then, by the mercies of God. The NIV translates it, in view of the mercies of God, because of everything that God has done, worship Him. worship Him as a response to His character and His work. In fact, Paul has just sort of buried